Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry on this Monday evening. Donal Barry with you until, I suppose, 8 o'clock this evening, and we're going to spend 2 hours reflecting back, I suppose, on this week's action, mostly in football and a little bit on Camogie as well. Also in the first hour, we're going to chat to Pat McCarthy as his team, St. Patrick's Secondary School in Castle Island, they're heading for an All-Ireland final. We check in also with Colin O'Grady just before 7 as Kerry FC secured their first point in the League of Ireland. And there's a lot more positives actually to talk about Kerry FC as well. So all that in the first hour. After 7, we're going to chat to Marissa Kennedy about the upcoming O'Connor Cup weekend for ladies football with MTU Kerry heading to Mayo. I suppose looking to deliver the Lynch Cup. And I suppose when was the last time you heard 5 Kerry people representing Ireland in one single sport? Well, we're going to bring you 5 amazing women who are doing just that, just about 20 past 7 this evening, so stay tuned to that. Now, give us a call on 066-712-3666 or text us there on WhatsApp on 083-300-3300 to be part of our show tonight. As I said, every week, we really appreciate the time and effort that you take to listen to us, and we really appreciate those texts and comments that come in such big numbers. And also, I want to thank all the people we meet over the weekend, myself, John and Liam, and give us great feedback about the show. And you know, it's all great. And you know, it's great to meet people that are listening to us as well. I suppose that's fantastic as well. And of course, we are climbing up in those general hour figures each month as well, so we thank everyone for that. Now, what a difference a week makes. This time last week, we were talking about reaching a league final. And judging by some of the comments already on our comment line, Kerry senior footballers are destined for relegation following a 3rd loss in 5 days for Jack O'Connor's men, who went down to Tyrone yesterday. Well, 2 men who were totally on the wrong side of the score prediction because they both said this was a banker, Sean Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. Liam, where did it go wrong?
Where did it go wrong, Donald's race, yeah. Look, I suppose, whatever about it, I suppose the green and gold always brings the best out of these boys above from Tyrone, and I hope that we're not after kicking off their season because, look, they outplayed us, really. You know, and the physicality, everything across the board was top marks by them. And I think, look, they were ably held to me by the referee, Mr. McAnally, and I have a bit of history with him through the Sigison Cup with the last couple of years, so I wouldn't be one of his biggest fans anyway, but I didn't think he did us any favours.
Yeah. Well, is it unfair to say it came down to that, though?
Well,
you can
pick out a lot of stuff where Kerry were doing wrong and what we're doing right, but there was a lot of calls that, you know, they were 50-50, and like at the end of the day the game was tight, that if you got the one or two extra frees that we should have got, or one or two extra frees that they got that they shouldn't have got, it could have made a change. Alright, Donald, but no, I think, look, I thought he reffed it completely different in the first half than he did in the second half. Tyrone got away with a lot more in the second half, but look, we don't want to be sitting here blaming the referee for losing the game.
That's Ambrose's job anyway.
That's Ambrose's job.
But
he didn't help, and I thought he was poor now yesterday. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought he was poor.
John Kennedy, referee aside, we certainly contributed a lot ourselves to our own downfall, I thought.
We did, Donald. I think, you know, when you look back in it and analyse it, I suppose, you know, the goal by Shane Ryan, it was a freak thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think it gave him a lifeline, even though it was early in the game.
Yeah.
And then we were 3 points up, and, you know, they were saying in commentary that Tyrone were waiting for the half-time whistle. And then McCurry got a free, Cormac Quinn kicked a great score, and Matty Donnelly, who had a fierce game for them, he kicked a great score. So they went in level at half-time. That was a huge boost going in. You know, they got the look of the draw, maybe they got the lucky breaks, but they took them. And it was nip and tuck. But again, in the last 6 or 7 minutes, when Tyrone needed to win the game, they won it. That was disappointing from our point of view. I thought physically, you know, there were some challenges. We came off second best. Mm-hmm. We were a bit naive. I thought that our defence, we were taking the ball up into the attacking positions. And when we lost possession, we were found with 1-1 or 2-2 at the back.
We're back to the old Kerry there again, aren't we?
Something we didn't want, really. Yeah. The more bodies we have back, the better, against, especially against a team like Tyrone, and create space above for David Clifford, because there was one stage David Clifford was marked by 4 players. Where were the other 3 Kerry forwards then? They had to be loose. So, like, they had their homework done, but every team will have it done now. Paddy Clifford was nullified again. David Clifford was frustrated and pulled and dragged. We can blame the ref. And, you know, Jack was, you know, he was, you could see it after, he was disappointed again. But look, when things are going well And when you're winning, you will get those breaks. But the day you want them, you won't. So you have to make your own luck. And there was certainly a few big... I thought there was a very big call on Stephen O'Cumber. He was fouled in my book going through. Around the 50 or 55th minute, we were level. Mm-hmm. A free out was given, like. A free in, it is over the bar. You're a pint up. They are very fine margins.
Mm-hmm. Look at the game yesterday. I mean, the first half, it really looked like Kerry were the better team. Kerry were on the ball, they wanted to play more of the football. They went ahead, yes, Shane Ryan, you know, it didn't work out, the ball went in it, but I mean, in the scale of things, he made two fantastic saves to nullify that. So you're going to tick that box and say, look, that just happened, that's one thing, we move on. But the points that we conceded, Liam, just before half time, we gave him 3 points, bang, bang, bang. I mean, that I think cost us.
It did, yeah. And like Stephen was probably the one, he came out. You know, there were silly mistakes that we have been doing in the last few games. You know, silly fouls. You know, coming out too strong and pushing a fellow over. You know, and you're only giving the referee a chance to give a free. But yeah, I thought, look, we were, you know, once the goal went in, it gave Tyrone fierce heart. You know, and we kind of, the heads dropped a small bit. And the one thing I found yesterday is that we I don't know what's happening inside in training, but we are not kicking the ball down. Mm-hmm. And like, it is football, and Ambrose have said this several times, you have to put the foot in it. And we look like players now that don't want to kick the ball.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you look at players and say they're low on confidence because they don't want to do it, or is it just a tactic that we're just holding it?
I think it's a tactic. Like, how many times have you seen Jack Barry kick a ball? Don't know, you could go through the players. Stephen Ockenbar, how many times did he kick the ball? Tadhg Morley. And I mean, by kicking the ball is when we've turned the team over, that we need, like we were doing last year, that we need to get the ball into David before this 3-4. And you can see David's getting frustrated. And any forward would. If we were in there ourselves, you'd be getting frustrated. But we don't seem to. Our first option when we get the ball, we're turning backwards or we're going lateral. And you know, it's funny when you look at Shane Ryan, the goal. What was his first thing when he got the goal? When he got the ball, he turned backwards. You know, so it's something that it summed us up. No, we're not driving forward, and what teams are doing, and John said it there, they're copped onto their marking party, Clifford. I saw it above Cohen with Mayo. Mm-hmm. They're doing a thing, and you'd see it in basketball, they're going boxing one. So the player that's marking party is not even looking at the ball, and Tyrone did it as well yesterday. So they're taking our kicker away from us, so we can kick the ball. David Moran was a huge loss because he was the one midfielder who could kick the ball around the 45, our own 45 or 50, and hit the full foul line with a kick. We don't have the players to do it at the moment. We probably have the players, whether they're told not to do it, because I'd rather, instead of having a good stat that we're 100% in keeping the ball, kick in 10 balls to David Clifford, he'll win 5 of them. And what will he do with the 5 of them? I'd rather have that stat instead of passing the ball over and holding it for 20 or 30 times.
Mm-hmm. Liam, taking on, guys, it was refreshing to see Donald Sullivan yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young fella coming in with no experience at that level. He took on the responsibility. He dropped the shoulder, took on. He led off the ball to Paul Murphy for the goal. Yep. He got a point himself. But we're going in, we're turning, we're giving it back, and we're the shot selection, we're looking for David or Sean Ishea.
Yeah.
And like you said there, Paddy Clifford is one of our best kick passers. He's taken out of the equation. The ball going in, Tony Brosnan gave a ball to David Clifford in the first half yesterday. You could see David pointing where he wanted it, because Tony is not in that game. He hasn't been in that position giving that kind of ball off. He's usually inside.
If you look at our defence as well yesterday, like Graham Sullivan probably spent 80% of the game in our forward line. Mm-hmm. No, and Tom Sullivan was up there, Paul Murphy was up there, and what happened, that was suiting Tyrone down to the ground, because when they turned us over, then Jason Foley was on a one-on-one with a very good footballer, and the first option when Tyrone turned us over, they kicked. Whereas I'd be telling, last year we weren't sacrificing Tadhg Morley going forward. We weren't sacrificing Graham, and our cornerbacks weren't driving forward like we're doing this year. Defensively, I don't know, is it just the way we're doing a lot of training at the moment and we're not tactically getting into it? But I think we're a completely different team to what we were this time last year.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of heavy training. We've been talking about, I suppose, the delay back from the holiday. We've been talking about, it's February, don't worry, lads, it's not a big panic. We're talking about March now,
and
it's still kind of maybe not a big panic. Where, John, do we start the panic?
I think, Donald, it's important to stay in Division 1. That's crucial. Now, up to yesterday, another 2 points might have done. The results yesterday, I think, showed we might need the 2 games. Mm-hmm. We might need to win both. And I think we'll beat Roscommon. I said we'll beat Tyrone. I think we'll beat Roscommon. I think they're after shooting their bolt, really.
Yeah.
They seem to be sliding a small bit.
Do you know, in fairness to Roscommon, I looked at the result there yesterday for some bit and they were trailing, but they showed great heart to get back into that game. Conor Cox scoring a goal. I mean, they showed the team that
I think we're lucky we have them at home.
I think so, yeah.
Because up there would be a different, but I would expect us to pick up them 2 points here in Tralee. But as for going to Galway, you'd be depending on, you'd be hoping to see what Galway team will go out.
Will the Galway thing be more a repeat of the All-Ireland and people in the media will build it up as an All-Ireland Shane Walsh back again? John Kennedy's friend there. I mean, obviously he's going to score 4 points when he starts listening to this programme. But I mean, the truth about it is that game now is a very, very big game.
It's a huge game and it'll be tough up there. They seem to have got a few new players, Galway. You know, they've lads to come back, they have injuries, but they're still up there. They're second in the table. Possibly a chance of getting to a league final, which would be a further progress for Pádraig Jice with a young squad. But I think that from a Kerry point of view, you know, Division 1, we said it here before, look, whether it's football or hurling, the team that wins the All-Ireland, it's always difficult coming back. The league campaign can be indifferent, it can be up and down, you know, and particularly Division 1 in the National League, it's so competitive. We saw Tyrone yesterday, they're 2 points going into the game. If they win the remaining two games, they could possibly be in contention to get into the final. That's how close it is. But from Kerry's point of view, I think that they have another 2 weeks to go. I think there will be further improvement. And it's important that we get our best players playing well. And we need a few more of them back. And I think maybe Gavin White, if he's ready coming in, his runs from the half back line, we miss those. But Paddy Clifford is crucial. Mm-hmm. We need him in the game. And certainly, like, his delivery has been top class.
Are we better off with Paddy at number 11?
I think so. I think that Paddy will. I think we need him at number 11. He seems to be not producing the top draws quality when he's not at 11.
Yeah.
And maybe let him drift and play his own game from 11. And Shawnee Shea, whether it is Adrian Spillane or Darren Meinen, they're covering in 2.5 forward line. But I think Paddy, he dictates the play from centre forward. He's picking the breaks in the middle, and his deliveries are super.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I throw something across at you, Barry Dan? Years and years ago, I remember an old football friend of mine telling me that the only day people will know how good you are is the day you're not there. Yesterday Barry Dan wasn't
lost.
There. It wasn't lost, was it?
Yeah, because that game would have suited Barry Dan, because if you watch Barry Dan in the last few games that he's been playing with Kerry, he's a man that throws himself around. You know, he doesn't fear the tattle or the competition, as we call it. And yesterday's game would have suited him, so he was a loss. But if you said that to me 3 or 4 weeks ago, that Barry Dan was going to be a loss, I'd be scratching my head and saying, yeah. But yes, he was a loss yesterday.
So by his absence, we've seen how much he contributes. Adrian Spillane,
huge loss. Yeah, huge loss. And I think the couple of games that he has been missing, he has been a loss. You know, because he's a warrior around the middle of the field, and that's what we need, is a couple of warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we certainly have a couple of comments coming in. I don't want to go into a ref fest, but we'll say a few. Ref was awful, some disgraceful decisions even against Kerry. One ref and the pitch with 30 players just isn't working, lads. We need a second ref. Kerry played far too much hand passing and recycling football. Tyrone were a better team. Again, the ref, what did David have to do to win a free? Lads, if you can't score when the game is there to be won, there's no point blaming the ref. I suppose that's the other side of the coin too. I mean, we did get chances.
Yep.
Particularly midway through the second half, were we a point off the lead at one stage. We had three scoring chances and we didn't convert any.
We didn't score for the last 20 minutes.
No.
That's
mm-hmm.
not Kerry like.
It's too simple, Donald, to say the ref cost us.
He
contributed, of course.
Yeah.
We know that. But like we had when you see David Clifford and Shawnee Shea missing guilted chances by their own standard, it just shows you the pressure they were under.
Mm-hmm.
We did miss them.
Yeah.
You see what we gave away, the chances we missed outside of the referee. But I thought, like, the cards he handed out yesterday, you know, it was a championship game, like, you know, you can't be handing out cards for innocuous enough challenges, in fairness. And the only thing about him was he was consistent, because he's there doing it, like.
I suppose he was the letter of the law, I suppose. Man was doing, I suppose, in fairness, following what he was told to do. Now, Kerry need Dermot Murphy, maybe they might need Dermot Murphy too, but they need Dermot O'Connor back at midfield, as they were very poor there on Sunday. Lads, what is the story with the backwards hand pass? It is killing us.
It is, and I think...
A lot of... I suppose it's a bit like... we're retaining possession, but we're heading back towards our goal with it, as opposed to going forward. That's what you're saying. You know, we should kick fear and well, hopefully fear. More back to the ref, we'll leave that one alone. Kerry still can't handle Tyrone after 20 years of this type of stuff. Surely the Kerry team knew what was in store for them.
Yeah, true.
It hasn't changed.
No, and it's not getting any easier.
Yeah. Boys against men once again, lads. It's easy to blame Jack O'Connor, but I didn't see him on the field on Sunday. I suppose it's fair enough. We will get it right when it matters at the business end, fairly positive. This is one that'll hit you, John. When you go over 40 minutes scoring 1-2, the goal from your wing back and another point from a free in front of goals, you don't deserve much out of a game. Go back to the wing back bit. Paul Murphy is one of these players who has stood up in all the games so far. He's contributing with his odd few points. He's nailing down, I'd imagine, a position for himself.
Yeah, Paul is doing well, but do you know, I'd rather see Paul doing well inside wing back than to be the same with Tom Sullivan. Maybe this is only a personal viewpoint. We have forwards above. If they get space, you know, the odd sally up the field is no problem. Paul came off the shoulder, Donald Sullivan stuck the goal well, he's kicked some great points, but I think that the physicality, Tyrone, we got sucked into their game, which is disappointing. No one blaming Jack O'Connor, in fairness, we didn't blame him. You know, he has put out the team, they're in a process at the moment, we're in a bit of a sticky situation. I think we'll come out of it and we'll stay up,
and he's given a lot of fellas chances,
and the big point is you look at Stefano Cumbar, you look at Donald Sullivan, Pa Warren, you know, the guys we mentioned in Adrian Spillane and Dermot O'Connor and Barry Dan, huge loss. Gavin White. But we're giving these guys, we're building the panel. You know, if we stay in Division 1 of the National League, we head in for the Championship, it'll be a big plus, because he has seen these fellas. Like any guy that came out yesterday with a thumbs up from Oma, he's certainly ready to go into a Championship game. But you look at the Tyrone team, they're seasoned. Hampsey at fullback, Peter Hart, Munro. You look at the midfield, they're all-star midfielders. Brian Kennedy and Fitzpatrick. And Matty Donnelly.
Are we a bit dismissive of Tyrone? I mean, they won the All-Ireland 2 years ago.
I think the
car didn't work for them last year. I mean, they don't become a bad team. So technically, they are All-Ireland contenders.
And I mean, they've lost. It's been well documented. There was talk about unrest in the camp and a lot of players walking away and retiring and all that. But look, he has built a nice squad. Doherty
Logan.
Yeah. But like, they brought Matty Donnelly back yesterday. This was a crucial game for Tyrone. Mm-hmm. This was a 4-pointer.
Yeah.
They had to win. If they lost, they were in relegation trouble.
And you saw when they scored, what it meant to them.
Yes.
You know, and I don't think it was because they were getting the couple of points for the National League. It was beating Kerry.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that will give them a good...
Well, it matters. You're beating Kerry fair enough, but you're beating the All-Ireland champions.
We're beating
as well.
The All-Ireland champions.
We've got a bigger target on our back now as the current All-Ireland champions. Lads, Kerry need to play direct football. Stop this passing across the field. It's hard to watch this game. It's only March, lads. Plenty of lessons to be learned, so let's learn them and move on. Stay positive, lads. Was that it? Oh yeah, the next fella comes around and says, was I watching a game of rugby when a player surrounded by six or seven punch knocked to the ground? This is not Gaelic football. Come on, the powers that be have to get off their ivory towers and clean up our game. I suppose, you know, that's what the referee's there for. If he sees a punch, it's a card, and that's it. It was a terrible game to watch. We're just going around in circles and we're playing rubbish. Again, Kerry loads of possession. Look great going forward at stages, but for some mad reason seem to be afraid to kick a point from 25 or 30 yards. Why? Lots of opportunities again today, but prefer to play sideways and backwards. Guy's not taking the shot, Liam. I mean, it's a Kerry thing usually, wasn't it? You know, you got space, it opened up, you had six forwards, every fella could score. We're not seeming to do it.
No,
we're
just relying on Shawnee and David, our two main kickers, and look, approved it above a Mayo as well. No, and we have a half forward line. I think the way football has gone and the way we're looking at it, we want workers, we don't want scorers. Like, I always thought half forwards were there to work and score, and like there was once or twice yesterday, even towards the end, you know, Darren Moynihan got the ball, I can still picture it, and it opened in front of him, but he didn't want to go, you know, that kind of way. He just didn't want, because they knew that I suppose it was in their heads the minute they went, there was three or four Tyrone fellas around them. Mm-hmm. But like John said, we got to get into the habit then, where are the other three or four Kerry flares?
Yeah. Can I read a stat to you? I mean, there's loads of stats and people say the Kerry forwards are, God, they can't score and they can't do this and they can't do that. John Quentin Kinney knows this. Oh no, actually you know it, Liam. Of the 32 teams, where are they ranked?
We're 17th overall.
For scoring?
For scoring, yeah.
Okay.
We're 756.
Can I throw something back at you? Right? Out of that stat, where are we in Division 1 out of that?
We are Mayo or Dorley team ahead of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So does that tell you that we are scoring enough for that division to think that we're 17? Of course, now, again, like, I mean, Cork are flying off the traps. They're 13 goals and 71 points. I mean, Westmeath, Leitrim, Cavan, they're all scoring, they're all flying. They're all teams kind of looking for promotion, I suppose, out of their divisions. Derry themselves, even 768. Mayo are the leading scorers in Division 1, 92. Kerry next with 77. There's a huge gap there in the, between the top scoring teams scoring.
But if
92.
We look at the top teams, Donal, it's the defensive structures they're all working on.
Yeah. Who's the third highest scoring team in Division 1?
In Division 1?
No, there you go, two of you.
Would be Roscommon.
Good guess. Monaghan.
Monaghan.
Where are Monaghan in the league? John Kennedy
second
has that.
Second from the bottom.
They're
yeah.
second from the bottom.
4 points,
so
yeah.
You're second from the bottom and you're the third highest scoring team yeah. in the league. Doesn't make much sense. It tells you how tight it actually is.
It tells you how poor defence is to it. If we're scoring high, you're conceding high.
Tyrone are the fourth highest scorers in the league in Division 1. Roscommon then, Armagh then, Galway then and Donegal down at the bottom. We're heading to Galway. We are the second highest scorers scoring. Galway are second last. That surely is 2 points versus it.
But in the defensive side then, that's that. We're 15th overall.
Yes.
Yeah. No, so yeah. that's no for a Division 1 team, All-Ireland champions, yeah. we should be more than 15th. No, so it's...
We're leaking a lot.
We've leaked the 367 altogether, I think. And so defensively, yeah, I think defensively is the thing. We've no structure. Last year we had a structure. At the moment, we're all bombing up the field and we're leaving big open gaps like we used to long ago. Yep. And fellas are running down the middle. Tyg Morley's been pulled out of the middle. Jason Foley's been isolated inside with no cover. And we're being put under pressure.
Well, stay with us, lads, because we'll take a break now and we'll come back and we have loads more comments to get through. We're going to talk a bit about Camogie, John. Have you been to a Camogie match?
Yeah, it was a few done.
Yeah.
We'd have to bring him.
I met a man who went to his first break here this weekend and we'll talk to him about it after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hi, Donald. The league is so tight that every score is very important. Could easily get relegated or qualify for the final score difference. And then I hope you have recovered from the game at Anfield, Charles. Well, Charles, I'm sitting here now drinking my 7-Up there that Ivan brought into me there a while ago. I think I'll get over it all right, Charles. Don't worry. I think we're still 7 points clear. You know, it's like I said, every score counts. Donald, we were not playing well with hunger. Style is gone as well. That's Marguerite and Fire, isn't it? Thanks for calling tonight, Marguerite. The Kerry had chances to kick points from 30 or 40 yards yesterday, but the lads wouldn't take it on. They went lateral and went around the halfway line. Why is that? That's from Mossy. Thank you for listening to Mossy. Lisbon caller, I can't watch football at the moment. There's too much hand passing and turning back, too much defensive football, defending in numbers and breaking. Rubbish to watch, and something will need to be done. Solar running and turning around and going backwards again. It's a good enough point, John. I mean, the game that we possibly knew, and even the game that you probably played, and even the game that, you know, Liam watched there a good bit, I don't know if you've ever played at the best. It is changing in front of our eyes.
There's no doubt. And look, everything has to evolve, Donald, in fairness, but I think there's a balance. You know, I mean, anyone that saw Derry and Dublin Saturday night, I mean, yeah. the first half was, yeah. It was terrible stuff to watch. And it's a spectator sport, look. And it's about the more scores you have. And while it's not a challenge game, and it has to be competitive, but there is a balance. And I mean, it's terrible when a player gets a ball, like Liam said, and the space in front, and he turns back and gives it back. Worse again, I think, if a player is 25 or 30 yards out within the scoring zone.
Mm-hmm. And you're a forward.
Yeah, he won't take the responsibility. He'll turn and give it back. I think it's something will have to be done about it, whether there's a rule brought in or what.
Yeah.
But it's natural forwards whether they were good kickers or not, they went for it.
Yeah.
And you had a cut, like.
Yeah, it reminds me, I played years ago with Clarglen Rugby, and John Healy put me out in the wing, and he says, you will catch your death of cold before you'll get a pass out there, anyway, he says. So if you're still there at half-time, we'll talk to you. The backward pass, lads, and the lateral football, it's not only killing Kerry, but it's killing Gaelic football as we know it. And that's from Dan. Thanks very much. Kerry gambled by not starting training early to give players a rest. It's a gamble that's looking shaky at the moment. Mayo showed us how to beat Tyrone. Fast ball over a small full back line. Well, Tyrone got in our faces. It's time for Kerry to beef up, says Morris. And listening very attentively to his usual, we'd be lost at this remove without you. So big thanks. We all thought the rules weren't applied fairly. So glad you highlighted that. Two comments. One, a goalie should never turn his back on his own goal. And two, 6 black cards to Kerry. Seamus in Waterford. And thanks very much, Seamus, for tuning in down there in Waterford. A good listener as well. Yeah, we addressed that. And John, of course, with all the cards. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of cards given out yesterday. Something that there was not too many cards given out on over the weekend. Myself and Liam Brosnan went to a Camogie match. I went to my second or third one, maybe. I can't lie, we're getting better at them. Liam, were you impressed with your first Camogie match?
I was, and Shane, and of course Elaine, the secretary, gave me the big invite, and of course being inside.
Did you buy your ticket?
What?
Did you buy your ticket?
I was down the list. That's the VIP list for the Camogies. But I went in. But I tell you, I'll be going to more of them, because it was a very entertaining game. These girls, you know, the commitment that they put in, and you see the likes of Patrice Diggins, who's worth the entry fee alone.
She was absolutely outstanding.
She was outstanding. Yeah. But she's ably assisted by all the girls around the field. Like, they give it everything. No, so yeah, I was highly impressed, and yeah, and it's something I will be going to more often. I'll be bringing my young ones as well.
Just talk about Patrice Diggins before we move on to Pat Ryan very quickly. She scored some unbelievable frees.
She had pucks of the ball that if it was in the men's sport, yeah, they'd be raving about it. You know, I think there was one inside her own half at one stage, I think in the second half, and she put it over the bar at her ease.
At her ease. She's a good girl to take a belt.
Oh, there was a hurley broke in front of me across her, and I was saying there's no way this girl is going to get up again, and she was only down for 30 seconds, and up she went, and I was above in Mount Hawk then Friday night, and that was a very entertaining soccer match as well.
Was there a hurley broke there too?
There was no hurley broke up there, but but it was no Ivan and the boys are doing a great job. So I had a fierce weekend of sport, of force for me.
John Kent, yeah, you know, we get no free passes anywhere. Now, after the game, I caught up with Kerry Camogie manager Pat Ryan, and he knew a bit about Camogie. Pat, congratulations. Winning seems to be a habit here in Killarney.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, delighted to get in here again. It was great. Look, maybe not our most fluent performance, but a win's a win. It was always going to be that type of game when you play an Ulster team, you know. So, look, happy to win.
Yeah. Again, I suppose Patrice, probably stood out a good bit today, contributed a lot of scores, fantastic player, good from frees as well. But all around, it was a good team performance.
Yeah, we started a good few new players today, and they battled very hard, and Wimp did the bench as well. Down a few players through injury and missing a few players, but nothing can be done about that. But look, positive. We're where we want to be.
Yeah. Two wins, a draw, and heading to Derry next week. Is that game now a vital game, or is it a game that it's a free chance?
Well, I suppose it depends what happened with Meath and Westmeath today. I don't know, I didn't hear the score. But it is still, you know, win. We could be in the filing. Lose, you might still have a chance, but look, we'll be going there trying to win it, you know.
And your final home game is against Laois. I hear it's going to be in Ossetack Park in Tralee.
Yeah, delighted with that now, delighted. So, you know, hopefully that could be the one that really gets us to the final. So delighted with the Kerry County Board now giving the Camogie this opportunity to get into Fitzgerald and Austin Stacks. Delighted with it.
And finally, all the players coming off the field walking. Patrice took a bit of a heavy tackle, but looks in good form.
She looks in good form, yeah. We're down a few players today, Jackie and Amy and Rachel and that. But look, everyone else just stood up to the mark. Like, you know, I was worried about this game all week. The girls mightn't have been worried about it, but I know from being above an Antrim that Cavan Camogie's developing big time, you know.
Okay, Pat, congratulations, very best.
Thanks a million. Thanks.
There you go, Pat Ryan doing a great job with Kerry Camogie. Two wins and a draw. They head to Derry next week, which is a long journey for them, and they have a home game in Austin Stack Park. Three home games this year for the Kerry ladies and the Camogie, or the Kerry Camogie senior ladies, I suppose. Two in Fitzgerald Stadium and one in Austin Stack Park. That's fairly good.
I'm going to bring John to the next one now, mate.
Well, you are you going anywhere the weekend?
This weekend?
Yes.
caught me in the spot now. I don't know why it was on the weekend. I'll tell you what to do.
Pam McCarthy joins us on the line.
I'm going to Carlow Saturday. I'm on the road to Carlow Saturday.
There you go. Pam McCarthy joins us on the line, of course, because next Saturday at 3 p.m. I'm telling Liam there that St. Patrick's Secondary School in Castle Island, they're going to head into action in the All-Ireland Post-Primary Schools Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan Cup Final. It's on in Cavan, of course. Or sorry, Carlow, Nathmarch Cullen Park there in Carlow. And they're playing a team from Meath. And I'm delighted now to have Pat McCarthy on the line. Good evening, Pat. It's been an eventful few weeks, I'd say, for you, having won the semi-final. I presume there's a fantastic atmosphere around the school and even around the hinterland of Castle Island.
Yeah, hi Donal, hi lads. Absolutely. It's unknown territory really for our school. It's the first time we won a Munster competition, and obviously in the first time we've qualified for an All-Ireland competition. So yeah, fierce excitement and busy preparing for the final.
Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for that final now, Pat? I presume, look, it's only a few days out. The training has been done at this stage, I suppose. Maybe the preparation is getting buses and getting people up and down to Carlow. What's it like on a daily basis in the school?
Yeah, look, it's busy. I won't tell you lies, it is busy. We've a quick turnaround. We've only a 10-day turnaround really from the semi-final, and that semi-final went extra time. Mm-hmm. So this was the first thing was about getting the boys recovered, and then we had to get them through minor county leagues over the weekend, and then we had to contend with an under 16 and a half Munster quarter-final today as well. So it's all good. It's these are great problems to have, because it means that you're progressing if you're having these problems.
Mm-hmm. And of course that semi-final was a fantastic semi-final, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was. You know, watching back the game, you'd really see what a good game it was. There was some great talent on show from both sides. It was great football played, and obviously we needed to pull everything we could out of the fire at the end, and look, thankfully I think you need luck to win any competition, and to progress to the final we definitely needed that luck.
Mm-hmm. And of course you're out there kind of based in Castle Island, but I mean a lot of great supporting clubs out around, and I see on social media every fella putting up about their own four or five players in their own club colours. What's the makeup of the team? What clubs are you relying on?
I suppose we've got all the Castle Island district where all clubs are represented, so we've got a good few lads from Castle Island, Desmond's and Coro. I think there's 9 on each of those. There's 6 guys from Cordell, 6 guys from Machnagashel, and then you have 4 from Scart. You've 1 from Ballymac and 1 from Rosna. So as you said, yeah, the clubs have been doing great work. We're getting great support from all the clubs, and you know, all the lads are coming into our school with a great basis of skill and fitness, and all we're trying to do then is build on that and kind of gel it all together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been fantastic.
I won't ask you about the team or the players or who to watch out for, because obviously it's a complete panel performance, and you know everyone is as vital as the next one. But heading into the game the next day, are you all fit and ready to go? Nobody being left behind injured?
We're down 2 or 3 guys that have been long term injuries. We've Raymond O'Neill, Joe Costello, Lee Normile and Larry Nolan. But on the flip side, we're getting Redmond O'Connor is coming back to us, and Killian Reedy is coming back after a long term injury as well. So look, other than that, we've a few bumps and bruises, but overall we're not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Is there more or less pressure being on the sideline in a school team compared to a club team?
I don't know. I suppose there's always pressure, but you know, with this group, we know and we trust the work that we've done, and we know we've a lot of work done, and they're great lads. Look, they showed that the last in the semi-final. They were at one stage, they were 11 points down with maybe 20 minutes to go in the second half, and look, they showed great maturity, and just they kept the scoreboard ticking. They didn't panic, and they trusted what they had done. They trusted the work they had done. They trusted the battle that we came through in the Munster final against Gael Cláiste. And they knew that, look, if we just stuck in there and got a few scores, that we would start coming back into it. And, you know, that's the way they've been all year. They've put their head down. They've worked really, really hard. And, you know, to be fair, they deserve everything that they're getting now at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully next Saturday evening around 5 o'clock, we'll be congratulating you as All-Ireland champions. I'm sure you never know. Sure, if you win, you might bring a cup into us, because Liam Brosnan hasn't seen an All-Ireland cup in a while. did you go to St. Patrick's, Liam?
I went to St. Patrick's, Donal, yeah. First of all, I want to wish Pat and all the boys the best of luck, because they have done tremendous work down through the years. You could see last year with the win of the Russell Cup really kind of catapulted the school into, I suppose, into the public eye, and these boys have been doing a lot. I know he said, and about the managers and the clubs as well, which doing fantastic work. But when they go down and they're being trained with by the likes of Pat and the guys that are with him, you know, they're just getting that extra bit of, you know, as expertise, and it's proven it. And because look, they're in an All-Ireland final. I think it's the first time ever that they're in a football out that school, as I say, our school, are in an All-Ireland final. And I'm delighted for them, because there's been a lot of work done with. All through John McNally, all the way is up. You know, Dennis Donovan was the principal. Mr. Long is there now, and you have the likes of Pair, who was involved with Kerry Miners down through the years. So the young fellas are in great hands, and hopefully, come 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh no, stop! I'm not going to ask you to predict it. Pair, his predictions don't be good.
I said hopefully, and I'm not going to predict it.
We won't ask you for any predictions. Okay, we're not going to put that on the way to the kids. Pair, listen, the very best of luck. Thanks for taking the call this evening. And look, we're really thrilled. I mean, it's great to get to an All Ireland final. And again, for a school, I suppose, that I won't say didn't have the tradition of football, but not having the tradition of football, getting up to this level, and I mean that must. The work from the clubs, from the players, and every generation, Pat, I suppose that there's a golden generation that kind of filtered through a school of all schools that happened even behind in Clash and Skilling and the whole lot. And it's great to get, I suppose, the best you can get out of them. And hopefully, as I said, by 5 o'clock next Saturday, all going well, we'll have a very good story to tell, and wish the players the very best of luck. I presume you're carrying a good few buses up, are you?
We are, yeah, that's the plan anyway. Yeah, we'll get a good few up. We'll need all the support. We know we're up against a really, really exceptional side in Nobber. And look, we'll need every bit of support we can get. So yeah, hopefully everyone will stay getting behind us as they have all year. And you know, we've got great support from everyone. Everyone in the school, management, teachers, parents, the other students, great support from around the town. And look, just hopefully we can get that again on Saturday, and hopefully we'll have a good story to tell next week.
Thanks very much. Fair play to you, Pat. Thanks very much for taking the call this evening. That, of course, was Pat McCarthy with St. Patrick's Secondary School there in Castleline. They're going in search of an All-Ireland post-primary. It's an amazing story. Now, speaking of good supporters, I need to mention a couple of supporters there. The programme, of course, the Tyrone programme, at the start of their notes, they welcomed the Kerry Supporters Club, who brought up two busload loads. And, of course, they mentioned my good buddy just around the corner here, Tommy Dowling, who goes to all the games, of course, as a good supporter. And of course, there's lots of them there. DJ Downey was there with his number one jacket on again, and I'm sure John Cregan was there with him as well.
I don't know, did they give Ambrose a good welcome there, did they?
Probably not. Well, they certainly won't give it to him the next time. Poor old team. Come here, something that did get good support as well was the Cornmarket National Awards. They were presented in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Derrykenny there on Friday. It was the first staging, of course, of this big event for the Munn School since 2020, of course, and all counties and schools. But we had a couple of Kerry winners, and congratulations to Skull, Owen Bosch, Tilly Spall. They won top national award for their digital programme on Cork, Kin, on Gaelga, August Culture. While Ard Firth National School, they finished third for their project on the promotion of Gaelic games in the large school category, and congratulations, of course, to both of them. And of course, Kerry weren't finishing winning there either, because they also won the Pet Trainer Award. That's the Lifetime Service Award for promotion of Gaelic games and culture. And that went to a Carsevine man. Any ideas? Dear God. You have to brush up in your Carsevine, lads. Come on, I mean, I'm here every night talking about him. I mean, you surely have something to learn by now. Congratulations, Jerry Grogan. Anybody, any idea who Jerry Grogan is?
Yeah, he's a guy that...
good man.
He's the voice in Croke Park.
Did he call your number off sometime?
Yeah. He did, yeah. Great GM, man. And a fantastic honour for him. I didn't actually know that now, Donald, but a fantastic honour. One of the real nice guys as well, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's up there for a long time. He's still a proud Kerry man.
Yeah, absolutely above there.
That's amazing. We have Jackie Lynch as well, who had a head steward up there as well. And she's a big listener too, as well, Donald. So,
we have great listeners.
And you would have a seat above in Croke Park now, with the way we're going.
Hopefully, beside Jerry Grogan, get a good seat on the bench there. Lads, we'll wrap up, I suppose, the GA. We have another about 30 or 40 comms. They're all kind of similar in the same vein. Question for each of you to wrap it up. John, what do we need to do the next day differently to get a result against Galway?
I think, Donald, a lot of the game yesterday, we played good football. You know, we were in control. We made elementary mistakes. We lapsed before half time again. And I suppose we've said it several times here, is taking on the opportunities and having a go at it. You know, I think we'll be two more weeks down the road. Don't think Roscommon will be the same difficult opposition that Tyrone
were. Tenacious, like,
you know,
yeah.
They're not. This was Tyrone needed to win. Mm-hmm. Kerry coming to Armagh, you know, it was a script written for them. But I think that we'll see an improvement to Kerry. There's no need to press the panic buttons yet. I think we'll do enough to stay in Division One, mm-hmm. and we have built a squad. But we'd like to see lads having a go and not to be relying on David and Shawnee in particular. You know, that spread of scores is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liam, my spies back west say that Paul Gainey is talking out for Dingle in the West Kerry League games, and Gavin White, of course, talked out the last day for Dr. Crokes in the East Kerry. Do we need some of these extra bodies back?
We do, and like we can sit here and say it's only March, but it was only February last month. Not only January, it's right. So long we can blame the team holiday for. You know, it's time to be getting serious now. And what I'd like to see is, you know, just if we can get a structure into our defence. No, we don't need our six defenders driving up the field. No, and I think that if we can kick the ball, and like John said there, if you're a forward and if you're in a kicking zone, have a go. No, we have to, because David and Shawnee are bringing, and like if you're a forward now and you're playing beside the two of them, they're attracting so many players to them. So you are going to get time to get into the right position and pop it over the bar. No, so I think, yeah, look, I think I've faith we'll beat Roscommon. I don't think Roscommon are as tenacious and a defensive structure like Tyrone have. But for us to win in All Ireland, we're going to have to go back to what we did best last year, and that's kick the ball.
Fair play to you. It is football, I suppose. You have to kick it sometime.
Yeah.
A bit more than we do at the moment. And of course, look, it's a very competitive league at the moment. A big shout out to our friends over the border, Cork. They're going quite well.
Yeah, they're very impressive. You know, their forward division in particular, Sean Potter, he's flying. Great to see him back. He'd terrible injuries over the last number of years. Fantastic player. And, you know, they're building nicely. Mm-hmm. They won't get promotion. They'll be Division 2, but, you know, they'll be
coming to the Championship in good form.
And, of course, we have listeners in Limerick. A great draw.
Yeah, a good draw for them. And, look, I suppose it's a hard division that they're in this year. And they know that themselves. But this weekend will show that they have something up there.
Life after Billy Lee.
Billy in Rock Street. So
yeah. Rock Street. Good stuff. Billy's just around the corner from us now, so they're probably training hard, I suppose. Listen, guys, thanks very much. We'll catch up with you again in, I suppose it's a fortnight now at the moment. You enjoy your break. You're going to Carlow. John, I heard you're busy scouting North Kerry for things. We might talk about that some other time. Thanks very much for your contributions this evening. And after the break, we switch codes and we talk Kerry FC.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Kerry FC claimed their first ever point in the Senior League of Ireland, of course, points in the SS Air Tristy First Division League last Friday night, as they held on for a 1-1 draw against Limerick side Treaty United, having to play, I suppose 30 minutes, or maybe even a bit more than 30 minutes with 10 men. And now joining us on the line is Colin O'Grady to pick over, I suppose, the bones of another impressive performance I'd probably put out there. Colin, we knew that this team were probably capable of getting off the mark sooner rather than later. And I suppose after two losses, you kind of get a bit nervy, don't you? But full value for the point on Friday?
Oh yeah, definitely done. Look, they're learning faster on the job learning, and you know it was a good point, and we're on the board, and a lot of positives. So it is, and look, you know, it's onwards and upwards.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the season. I suppose when you were on last, we were talking about the excitement of having a club, and I suppose the atmosphere and the occasion, the whole lot. But we're probably moving away from that now at this stage, because it is competitive, and we want to get as competitive as we can as well. I suppose we started somewhat maybe conservatively, maybe in our first opening two games, having watched them, but we really came out of the traps, I thought, on Friday.
Yeah, I suppose, look, the last time I was on Dunn, I suppose it was more the heart maybe over the head, you know, in hoping they were going to hit the ground running. But no, look, last Friday night, straight from the tip-off, they were at it very good, very early. And I mean, you know, I thought Sean Kennedy, Matt Keane, and particularly Ogaxka were very impressive. And we scored within the first 10 minutes and possibly could have had a second. And then, you know, just before half time, a long ball over the top. I think they'll be really disappointed, I think, with the goal conceded that Treaty got. And as you alluded to earlier, going down to 10 men, playing over half an hour. But look, it was a great point, and could have stolen in the end. Donald Leo had a great chance there, about 15 minutes to go, and the width of a post. and it would have been nestled into the bottom corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is a player on form. I mean, he really has caught the headlines, I suppose, and a lot of teams watching him as well, Bray and Co fans, the last couple of evenings when they've seen him. He's a very impressive performer, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's got that X factor, Donal. He's got that bit of pace, unpredictability, and, you know, for a guy that looks so small, like, he's lethal, really, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
He's very comfortable on the ball, isn't he?
He is. And I mean, he's a great outlet there in the second half now when they were down to 10 men. You know, he was always making himself available. And for that chance that there, like, there was two central defenders, ball over the top, controlled it very well. And as I said, just with a weight of a post and would have nestled in the bottom corner. But he's a great outlet to have. And, you know, I think if he does start getting goals, you know, I think bigger teams will start looking at him again.
Mm-hmm. Of course, on the hour mark, Andy Quaid got the red, a second yellow. Any complaints or... Fair enough, maybe.
No, looking back at it, I don't think there was any complaints really. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just bad luck really, because I think he was going to be substituted. But look, it's a learning curve. They'll move on, and look, I think Andy will learn from it too. And you know, it was great defending for the last 30 minutes, like, you know, down to 10 men against an experienced team in Treaty, with experienced players. And I think, you know, they can come out of that and they'll learn an awful lot. And I think that Billy and the lads on the sideline too will learn an awful lot. And it was a good point. It was definitely a point earned versus 2 points lost.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Treaty are a decent side. And I know they, I suppose, come the same journey maybe as Kerry FC maybe a couple of years ago, but they did have the background of, I suppose, Limerick with them as well. And they brought the, I suppose, the players in from all the clubs, but they did get to the qualifiers, I suppose, and they've got to the latter stages, and they've had cup runs and everything, so they are a big outfit. The last 30 minutes, the defending, I suppose at times, I suppose it's a bit desperate in a sense, but who stood out for you in the last 30 minutes, particularly in the defence?
I think Kevin Williams had an outstanding game. Really came into his own. I thought Caelan Splendon well, and how Wayne Guthrie inside in goals pulled off some very good saves at crucial times. You know, looking back, they may not look like big saves, but they were crucial saves at the time. And you know, it got us the point. But I thought Kevin Williams was outstanding. To be honest, my man of the match Friday night.
Wow, good stuff. Yeah, he has been very solid. I suppose Billy Dinahy at this stage, look, I know you look at the table and you say, God, we're at the bottom of it and we've 1 point, but I mean, there's only a couple of games played, and it is performances. And I suppose in the first two games we kind of produced periods where we look very, very comfortable at this level, and obviously we made a couple of mistakes. Mistakes are crucially punished at this level though, aren't they?
Oh, without a shadow. I mean, you know, you make a mistake and it's probably going to lead to a goal or a goal-scoring chance. I think, look, they've learned a lot, but I think, you know, people need to kind of dampen the expectations more. But this is a team that is brand new team, brand new club, all come together. Not a lot of League of Ireland experience, enthusiastic. The sideline as well, you know, not much League of Ireland experience. Like, where we are after three games, you know, I don't think anyone could have any complaints. It's been great. Friday nights are fantastic. The crowd and the buzz inside in Mount Hawk is brilliant. And you know, it's definitely onwards and upwards. And I think they will have learnt an awful lot from the first three games. And as you said, don't look, mistakes are punished at this level. And I think if they can cut out the mistakes at the back, we have enough in the middle and going forward that we will create chances, and they will start taking them sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Two tough enough away games I suggest coming up, Galway and Wexford. Two big outfits at this level, aren't they?
Look, you're going to one of the favourites Friday night in their patch in Galway. It will be tough, but I mean, you know, what way to put down a marker and possibly maybe nick a draw. You just don't know what will happen. If we catch them on a cold night as well, I'd be hoping that we might pick something up maybe in Wexford, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And then back to Kerry then, of course, in 3 weeks' time. The crowd and the atmosphere as good last week as the first night, I presume? I mean, people are, there's a fierce appetite for it. I mean, people looking for tickets, I mean, it's sold out every night. It seems to be one of these kind of bucket list things for an awful lot of people around Kerry at the moment. We must get a ticket, we must go, we must support them, we must watch them. The appetite is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. And you know, it's great to see particularly a lot of kids there, you know, with parents. You're meeting people that, you know, you haven't met in a long time, we'll say, due to COVID, and it's fantastic. And look, it was great fun the last night with the Treaty supporters, and you know,
as I said earlier, it's a new club. The fans, we have to come up with chants and songs, and that'll come, and the banter. But like, it's fantastic, and it's a great night out, and I'd encourage anyone, if they can get their hands on a ticket, to definitely go.
Okay, we've only 2 minutes. I better ask the question. My producer will be saying, why aren't you asking him the question? He had somewhat of an easy win yesterday.
Which game is that, Donal?
That was the only game I watched when I came home from Clarence from basketball game. I settled in to watch it. I at half time 1-0 down, I didn't think we were going to lose 7-0. I suppose there isn't a Liverpool fan that hasn't gone to work today, is there?
it's been a very enjoyable day at work, to be honest.
Truthfully, did you see 7-0, Colin, coming?
No, I mean, look, it's beyond believable, to be honest. 7-0, quietly confident, not overly confident. I felt, look, with the players that coming back from injury, and we've just started to click the last couple of games, obviously the Madrid game aside, like, we've 14 sheets now in defence, and I think, look, if you can keep them out of the back, you know, we have the firepower up top, and the players coming back from injury, and you know, there's a lot of games left in it, and I wouldn't rule anything out for top four yet.
Oh my God, you win 7-0 and the positivity comes back straight away. You're a good Liverpool fan, and you're a good Kerry FC fan, and we'll catch up with you again maybe in a couple of weeks' time. The Kerry FC project, I suppose, as people are calling it, I think it's very positive. It's going in the right place, and I think Colin is right. I mean, if you do get a chance, get up there, get a ticket. If you can get a ticket, they're like gold dust, and the performances are quite good. Great players, need your support. Colin, you'll be working on the chance, I suppose. You yourself and Ivan, I suppose, we'll have a chance, surely, a home chance sooner or later, will you?
Without a shadow of a doubt. But look, just the one thing I'd like to say is, you know, it's great with the players afterwards, particularly with the younger kids, making time for them and taking pictures, and that's what it's all about. You bring it along the next generation with you, and in fairness, they've been fantastic with the first two home games, so long may that continue. And I definitely encourage anyone to go and try it out.
Fair play to that, Colin O'Grady, of course, as we head to news on 7 o'clock, and we'll take a break and we'll go to news now.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now I'll just get through a couple more of your comments, and my God, it was a busy show for comments this evening, as I said, thanks to everybody. Lads, no point in blaming the referee, it was in our own hands and we didn't win it. Keep passing the ball over and back, it's such a terrible game to watch these days, Donal. Kerry players avoided all the responsibility of kicking and kept hand passing it. I would love to see the Kerry footballers take it forward more like they could. Donal, the very best to look to St. Pat's Castle Island on Saturday. A fantastic school, fantastic management, and fantastic players. We really hope they get their just reward and win an All-Ireland. Donal, delighted to know that you were at another Camogie game. Yourself and Liam Broston will be getting VIP trips to Croke Park if they get there. I have to say, look, I mean, we do support everything, ladies football, Camogie, the hurling, and anything at Kerry FC now at the moment as well. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what age or what level or what ability you are. If you put on a Kerry jersey, you certainly deserve a bit of support. Now, this year marks the 34th anniversary of the Higher Education Committee's third level championships for ladies football, when the Connacht Centre of Excellence hosts the O'Connor Cup weekend, and there'll certainly be plenty of Kerry interest there as well, I'm sure, and I'm delighted to say that I have Marissa Kennedy, PRO of the Ladies Football Higher Education Committee, on the line. Well, Marissa, are you all set and excited to go?
Very excited to go, Donal. I've been at these finals weekends many, many times in a college capacity, so it's fantastic to go back this year as the PRO of the committee.
Yeah, it's a big job, the PRO of the committee, because, I mean, I suppose people look at it and they say it's a small competition, but it's far from a small competition. I mean, the amount, give us maybe some of the numbers. I mean, how many players would be registered to get all the way to O'Connor Cup weekend?
Yeah, small is not a word I'd use to describe this competition, because it's not just one competition. We have seven HEC championships going on, seven divisions, seven trophies to play for. So you're looking at about 64 teams throughout those seven divisions. You know, you have the O'Connor Cup, the Giles Cup, Lynch Cup, Moynihan, Donaghy, Lagan, and the fairly new HEC Cup. So in all, you know, there's 32 colleges across those 64 teams, and you're looking at, with that, at about 2,200 players, we estimate, to take part in these competitions.
Wow, absolutely. It's really, really grown over the years. And of course, it is nice to know that, I suppose, there's a grade for every college, because no two colleges are the same, and certainly no two enrolments are the same. I'm presuming the O'Connor Cup would be the bigger colleges.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the O'Connor Cup, you're looking at the likes of, you know, UL, who are reigning champions, DCU, very, very strong. You know, you have University of Galway, UCC, All Queens, Mary I recently promoted to the O'Connor Cup, who gave a great display in this year's competition. And what's great is, as you say, that there's so many different divisions, so that there's constant competition. And the standard is rising every single year across all seven divisions. So it is really great to see.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you are very well organised, because you have the leagues prior to Christmas. I mean, there's a lot of games in the league as well, all over the country, played as well, difficult, I suppose, at times for fixtures. But that kind of builds up the college dynamic, doesn't it? Those long trips on the bus, heading from Dublin to Limerick, or heading from Limerick to Galway, or heading from Tralee maybe all the way somewhere up to Ulster. And there's a different dynamic, isn't there, about college football, particularly, I suppose, players from different clubs in different counties.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have players from different counties, as you say. You know, they come up against each other in club, but they might, you know, find themselves against different counties or they might find themselves playing with players from different counties in this competition. You know, as you say, it's those bus journeys that, you know, really, really bond teams together. And the finals weekend is so special. We're so lucky to still have the finals weekend for the ladies HEC championships. You know, it's a test of the players, but, you know, also the setup and the management, because to be able to manage the workload of potentially playing on the Friday and then the Saturday, and just having the buzz of all those teams and all the players in one location, it's a really, really special weekend, as you know yourself.
Yeah, and you did touch a point there that's quite relevant. I mean, the other, I suppose, organisation have gone away from the weekend as such, and the games are on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights, and there's a lot more pressure. But the whole build up to the weekend, then it's that night away, and like you said, you win your semi final, you stay on another night. Were you at many O'Connor Cup weekends yourself as a player?
I wasn't, never as a player, but I spent my undergrad years with the University of Limerick, so I was involved with them from a PRO point of view.
You were there every year, so were you?
I was with the team many, many years, yeah. I think I missed out on one in 2017, but every other year, yeah, I was with the team up and down the country, and those were really, really special years. And that was really my first introduction to ladies football as well. I'm from Tipperary. It's not hugely big in North Tip where I'm from. So being able to see ladies football and the standards was really, really special. And obviously I fell in love with that anyway, because I'm still here.
Absolutely, of course. Well, in fairness, football in Tipperary has improved over the years. I mean, Ashley McCarthy and Ashley Maloney and you had plenty more good warriors before that. Adele Henley,
yeah,
as well, of course, fantastic player.
We just need a few more from up north and we'll be going strong.
Okay. You have to convert a North crowd. Come here, something that you are converting and I think exceptionally well is the impact of your promotion and the streaming of the games. I mean, I'd imagine that's a huge hit. I mean, at the moment, people, I suppose, when they stream, they have to pay and all that kind of stuff. But you're providing a lot of that service still free for a lot of the games on the build-up to the weekend itself, and maybe even some for the final weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Across both the league and the championship, we've had games available on our Facebook page. And I think, you know, there is such a following for the HEC level because, it, you know, as I said before, the standard is really, really high. And every time we stream a game, we see those numbers coming in. You know, we're streaming them for a reason, because there is a major appetite out there. So we're doing another huge push for the seven games coming up, or for the seven finals coming up this week, I should say. You know, it's International Women's Day on Wednesday as well, and we have three finals on that day. So we want to make sure that, you know, we are showing the best of ladies football, the best in the country here. So we have nine games to be streamed across Wednesday and the weekend. That includes all seven finals plus the O'Connor Cup semi-finals. Eight of those games will be live on the LGFA's YouTube and Facebook page, while Sport TG Cahir will have coverage of Saturday's O'Connor Cup final. So huge push And it's been great. You know, people have really responded to us, and we're delighted that we can bring that offering this week.
Mm-hmm. The venue, I mean, every year it moves around, which is fantastic. We were all ready to go here in Kerry in 2020 when COVID struck, and that kind of pulled the curtain down on that one. But the venue is very interesting this time. I mean, it's above in the dome. I presume you're ready for good weather and bad weather.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the great thing about having that option is that, you know, we can stay dry. I was up at DCU last year and the weather was atrocious. So we're very, very happy that we'll have the indoor option. No, absolutely not. So yeah, as you say, we're up in the Connacht Centre of Excellence up in the Dome this year. And it's fantastic. You know, the facilities are fantastic, and huge credit must go out to our host, ATU Sport, Nigel Jennings and all his team there. They've been absolutely fantastic, as well as Connacht GAA, of course, in helping us to organise this. Yeah. So we will have some semi-finals on four of the grass pitches, and then all of our seven finals then will be inside the dome, where we can keep nice and dry.
Yeah, Nigel Jennings is a very good guy, actually. Was up there a couple of years ago as well. I don't think we had a dome there at the time, but we certainly had the use of the Connacht Centre of Excellence. Come here, all the excitement down here, obviously, is on one team. I suppose we have to support our own. Kerry MTU there in the Lynch. Maybe explain to listeners what grade and who the teams they'll be facing, and maybe if they win, who they might be playing in the final.
Yeah, MTU Kerry actually in the Giles Cup this year. So they're facing off against Maynooth in the semi-final. They actually already met in the first round of the competition, winning, and unfortunately Maynooth won out, unfortunately from your point of view. Maynooth won out.
Terribly unfortunate, you should say.
Maynooth won that time at 2-6-7 points, but you know, MTU did so well to bounce back. I think they scored 7 goals against TUS, I should say, TUS Midlands in the next game, and then went on to beat a strong UL team in the quarterfinal. So fantastic comeback from them. It should be a fantastic match again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think knockout always brings something in, a little bit extra. And then in the other semi-final for the Giles Cup is DCU against Ulster University. So 4 very strong teams heading into the semi-finals there in the Giles Cup, so it's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. And of course it is the Giles. In my head, Kerry were still hanging out in the Lynch, but of course Giles is the second level. I mean, the next stop up here is with the real big outfits and the colleges. Just a quick word on Mary Eye as well. I mean, they're a team that kind of progress up and down through the levels, but they're going quite well this year, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, they won the Giles last year, did very well in the final, you know, really deserved the place in the O'Connor Cup. Hadn't the easiest start to the competition. You know, they came up against the reigning champions UL. It's never an easy fixture, but it's probably a challenge they relished as well. Lost out quite heavily in that game, unfortunately. I think UL managed to get a good few goals past them that day, and then lost out to Queens, I believe it was, in round 2. But, you know, they showed so much potential throughout the league as well. And that's what's great, as I said, is that teams are constantly given the opportunity to progress and get as far as they can and to get up to those higher standards. And you want to be playing these big teams. That's how you challenge yourself. You know, but for a college like Mary Eye, which, you know, mightn't have always been associated with ladies football, it's fantastic to see them in the highest grades.
And last word, Mr. Collins, is he worried? Is he stressed? How is he, poor old DJ?
DJ keeps his cards very close to his chest, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. He puts on his secretary hat during the week, and he's, you know, very, very professional, and he's fantastic at what he does. But he'll be firmly in the UL camp this weekend. And you know, it's a winning combination he has there. You know, he's been at the helm for so many years and brought them so much success. So they'll definitely be the team that everyone will be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I'll let you into a little secret there, Marissa. You can tell him, of course, he is a Cork man. We have to give him that. But he was educated in Kerry, though. That's where he got all his football technique from. He had to travel over the border to Slieve Lucan and Rathmore to get an education. So that's where all the football came from, Marissa.
Listen, he's never mentioned that.
Well, there you go. Something that you will learn tonight, and you can tell him. He kept that as a secret, I bet you. Marissa, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. listening. We wish you the very, very best of luck. It's a fantastic event. You know, fantastic people involved and fantastic. And the colleges too, they all really, you know, embrace it and help out. And it's great to see so many, I suppose, players involved all the way through. And of course, look, a busy weekend. As you said, you have semi-finals and finals and the whole lot. There can only be one winners. Quickly taking off your PRO hat, could you call the winners the O'Connor Cup?
Oh, I mean, I suppose Hart of UL, but DCU have also been extremely strong this year, so I'm just looking forward to those semi-finals and see who comes out.
Fair play, you're very politically answered. Marissa, final question, let you off on that. Did you ever do a bit of fishing?
No, never actually.
Well, stay tuned, because we have five women here from Tralee who are going off representing Ireland, believe it or not, in the international. Absolutely. I'll ask them, did they play a bit of football? Maybe we'll return that one as well for them. But listen, Marissa, thanks very much. The very best of luck to the HEC and all the good stuff happening there in ladies football, and the very best of luck in the Connacht Centre of Excellence. And of course, we are shouting totally unbiased down here for Kerry MTU, and sure, who knows, we might get the better of Maynooth this time around and might go one step further as well. That was Marissa Kennedy joining us there, talking about all things about the O'Connor Cup weekend, which takes place next weekend, and plenty Kerry players involved, obviously with MTU Kerry, but obviously a lot of girls too playing with UL and all the other various colleges, and we'll keep an eye on them for next week for you. Now we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, when was the last time that all five members of an Irish national team heading off to a major sporting event were from the one club? Well, that's the case, and it's a great story, and it's a Kerry story, even though there's a small bit of Dublin in there, but and a bit of Cork now as well, after finding out. But we're all members of the Tralee Bay Irish Shore Angling team or club or whatever, and they're heading off to compete in the Ladies Home Nations Championships. Forgive me, ladies, if I'm choking over the words, because they're all very new to me at the moment. But basically, you're heading off in July, and you're all from the one club, and I'm delighted to be joined by Clodagh Rosalind, who's on the phone. I have Liz McMahon, Fiona Ryan, Alison O'Sullivan, and Clodagh is a Cohan, she says. Absolutely. She's very shy, Cohan. Fiona, I suppose, as the nominated spokesperson, it's an unusual enough story to think that somebody just down the road from Tralee are heading off to represent Ireland at a national event. You must be hugely excited and maybe proud as well about it.
We are. We're delighted to be going. It's the first time all the members are from Munster.
It's a big event, of course. I mean, obviously, nerves and the whole lot. When did you get involved, first of all, in fishing, or do you call it angling, or...?
Angling, fishing.
Is that a bit of a debate? Yeah. Some people call it fishing, or is that just something that I would call it, or it's angling, is it?
It would be angling, yeah. Or fishing, either or is fine, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the difference? What's angling? To Donald Barry, who grew up in Castlewell and saw all these people fishing, no idea what they were doing. But the sport of angling, how is it measured or gauged, or how do you compete?
I suppose there's clubs set up across the country, and they hold their own competitions on a monthly basis, so everybody turns up and just, you know, competes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course, I mean, if everybody has to start angling somewhere, I suppose, or fishing the first day. Liz, can you remember your first time being handed something and said, go off down there and do a bit of fishing or angling? Was it a pastime, first of all, before it became a sport, maybe?
No, I grew up with a big fishing family. My father was a big river fisherman, so I remember being 10, 11 years old on the back of the Honda 50 out to the River Main.
Wow.
With my dad.
Good stuff.
So I've been fishing since I was very young. No, yeah. I didn't fish for a long time after that. But yeah.
What was the attraction? What was it, the fact that your dad said, come on, I have to babysit you and off you go, and that was it?
I always wanted to go. I mean, it was fun. It was being outdoors, being able to hold a rod on your own, and he just let me off and do my own thing. Sure, I was only delighted.
Absolutely. Yeah. No phones, nothing. It was just...
Oh, God, no.
Fish away.
All you have to worry about is the bull.
All right, okay. Crossing the fields. Okay, good stuff. Alison, yourself, your own introduction.
I suppose, like Liz, I was reared with a fishing family, and in actual fact, Liz's father taught my father how to fish.
All right, very good.
So it's in the family.
Did he teach him very well, or did he just kind of teach him?
Very well, of course.
Oh, very well.
So I come from a family and I'm the only girl, so I was either go out fishing with the boys or be left behind. And then the kid, my young fella was fishing, so then I took it up fishing like properly within the club and stuff. So it's gone on from there then. And
While these gang were fishing in Kerry, you were raising the fish banks above in somewhere in Cork Clodagh, were you?
I was raiding the banks of the River Lee, so some of my earliest memories are going fishing with my granddad for for trout. Yeah.
And what was that like? I mean, obviously this is a sport now, but it's great to kind of maybe trace where you start with a family member. I mean, it's different to football. You go around to the club and, you know, the club train you and there's no relation at all and Johnny shouting at you to do laps or whatever. But I mean, this is a nice time, obviously. You have memories going back to your granddad's time and the whole lot. I mean, that's nice, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's lovely. And I think the guys here will tell you as well, all families who grew up fishing on the river, there's always this little family trick or secret, you know.
Right, okay.
We'd all have our own little ways of doing things, so it's really nice to have that passed down as well.
Yeah. Alison, the sport of it, the event of it, I mean, somebody has to win or somebody has to lose. What's the competitive edge? How does that, we'll say, translate itself?
So I suppose we're governed by a fishing body and they would hold then, like, competitions. So you do your competitions within your club, achieve then to become master angler. So you have to win within your club against your other club members.
Okay.
Then you go on to represent your province and then you go on to represent your country, is how it works more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all like you go out and you do a bit of fishing, fish at the, whoever catches the most fish gets the most points, and it's all tallied up throughout the year then.
Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that, Liz, is it? You know, you get your rod or whatever it's called and off you go and you collect the most fish and each fish is a point or different points, and is that how it works?
It's not that simple. There's a lot in it. I mean, there's a lot of work, homework you have to do before you go. You know, you have to have the right tackle, right traces. You got to know what fish you're looking for. Some fish like this bait, some fish like that bait. You know, there's a lot in it. So there's a lot.
So there's no lucky.
It's not that easy, no. There's no a little bit of luck. A little bit of luck is good anyway.
Good stuff. Fiona, are you a lucky fisherwoman?
At times. I'm trying to catch up with these ladies. Yeah.
A lot of these had the family involvement. Where did your involvement arrive, Fiona?
It was just by chance. I rang Chris, who was Alison's brother, just to inquire about membership fees for my other half, who was fishing at the time. And Chris kind of said, look, do you want to join as well? So I said, go on, give it a go. But I had no previous experience whatsoever. Nothing, do you know?
You give it a go.
I'd give it a go and hooked, excuse the pun, ever since. So.
Is Rosalind Murphy a good fisherwoman? Be careful now, because she's on the line. Rosalind Murphy, delighted you can join us online. They're all giving away the secrets here anyway. Rosalind, how did you get involved in fishing the very first time? Was it a family involvement for you as well?
No. I was on holiday down in Wexford. Weather was really, really bad, so I took the kids out to catch some crabs on a little line and I caught a fish.
Right.
So I went out the following day and I bought a rod and I caught another fish, so that was me hooked.
Very good. And how did you translate yourself from lucky Rosaline who caught the fish to kind of competing at this level?
Well, I would have joined the Tralee Bay Club because I was down in Kerry all the time. I have a mobile home down there, so I joined the club, started doing competitions, started doing really well, and then got to international level.
Wow. So, And how important was it to join the club? Obviously, I presume for the competitive side, but I'd imagine there's a good social side as well, particularly with people that kind of share that kind of passion for the fishing as well.
The passion for it, yeah. And making friends, yeah. The social aspect of it is really, really good because you become close, you know, you trade your knowledge with each other, you know, what's working well, what's not working well, what baits work better, you know, and then you have the other end of it where you have all your equipment, your tackle, your fishing rod, you know, what lines work best, what traces work best. And through the club then you have interaction with each other and yeah, you're building up your skills, and then your competition, you know, you're learning then different venues, you know, again, even down to weather, what weather will impact on fishing, what brings out the fish, what puts them into hiding, and
it's amazing.
Beautiful. learning. Yeah.
Claude, there's a lot of moving parts to this, isn't there?
There is, yeah. It's a little more complicated than just rocking up to the pier and, you know, I suppose that's why it's called fishing, not catching.
Right, okay, good stuff. So there's a good bit of time waited and waiting and the whole lot. Come here, something that Roseline that hit there. I mean, each river is different, the weather affects different things, the fish are different. Is this something that you build up over time, kind of hit and miss, and you just get more experience as you go along? Or I presume there's no real book you can follow to this, is there?
No, if there was a book or if we any of us had the, had the inside knowledge, sure, we'd be winning all the time. But it's something you learn as you go along. You learn how conditions affect fish and how they feed, how at different times of the year certain breeds of fish might be spawning, so you won't catch them, and it's something you learn as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Did Chris teach you anything at all?
He tried to. Right. He sometimes says I'm unteachable.
You're unteachable. Well, I don't know if anybody's unteachable, Alison, but he seems to do a lot of teaching on YouTube anyway, and he catches the stuff. Does it help to have a brother who's as involved as well? Or yeah. Is it a hindrance? If
no.
It's a hindrance, you can say it's a hindrance.
No,
don't worry.
No, at the start there was a lot of help, and then as you move on, this is his famous word, I'm not holding your hand.
All right, or your rod.
Yeah, so he has, on my rod, so he has a rule that I have to come to him with a plan and he might add to it, but yeah, there's no drip feeding information from him.
All right.
So his secrets are his secrets as well. Like, you've got
all right. So he doesn't even divide within the family. Like,
oh no, it's very competitive even within the family. We'd be trying to all beat each other.
Oh my God, yeah. Liz, any family secrets arrive out of your days?
Yeah, well,
the back of the Honda 50.
Well, I don't know about the Honda 50, but my husband's big in the club as well, and he's very big into fishing. So he would have represented Ireland as well. So I do get an awful lot of my help and tips from him as well. So a lot of credit has to come from him too.
Yeah. Fiona, do you find yourself trying to catch up fairly quickly with all these years of family experience and knowing where the fish are hiding in various rivers and all that? Is it something that you can catch up fairly quickly?
It is, if you're keen to. Do you know, if you're interested and you want to learn, then yeah. I mean, I do try to squeeze secrets out of them. I have everybody pestered, you know, for more information. But again, you have to have the interest, so...
Yeah. Roseline, do any of these gangs share their secrets with you?
They do, of course they do, yeah. Yeah, we work together. We have a great team.
Absolutely, and of course, and it is a team. And what we will do is we will talk about, I suppose, the team event and the home nations, and I suppose we'll move it on to the next level maybe, and we'll do that after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, 7:35 here on a Monday evening, Donalberry on Terrace Talk with you, and we're joined by five amazing fisherwomen, I suppose. Does it really matter if you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman? Are you on the same level, Alison?
Would they say the women are better at fishing and hold the records?
Do they? Uh-huh. Seriously? Are you just fishing now for compliments? Or?
No, it's meant to be true.
It's meant to be true. We'll check that. If it's true, it's brilliant, fantastic. Come here, Claude. I suppose a lot of people are listening and saying it's a competition. How is it a competition? How do you compete? Give me an idea of the competitive day as such when Claude Cohen arrives with all her stuff or her gear or what you arrive with, and maybe give the listener an idea of what a competitive day is like.
Sure, well, competition is normally about 4 hours long. So, for instance, a club competition, if it's held locally, say, for instance, down in Fermoy, you'd have to travel down there, first of all, and be on the venue about an hour beforehand. So your peg is drawn then, and that tells you where you'll be standing on the beach for the competition. So beforehand, you'd have to get your bait prepped. You'd have to think about the venue itself. What type of tackle you'd need, what type of traces and lead, and especially what type of bait, because you'd often find as you're going along, mostly through trial and error, that if one thing works great on one beach, you might find that it's hopeless somewhere else, so you have to do the homework too. So it's not all just easy going. I mean, you'll be casting out about every 15 minutes or so and walking up and down the beach with the tide and dragging your kit, but and hopefully catching.
And the time then, it's a specific amount of time to do all that. I presume there's a clock or something that starts and that you're 3 or 4 hours or whatever or time you get?
Yeah, you start at a specific time, so again, the time of the competition is usually dictated by the time of the tide.
Okay.
So you might be fishing down for an hour and then back up the tide for three, so it all depends on that too.
Okay, so Alison, step it forward a bit then, you cast out and lo and behold you catch something, what happens then?
So then you have to retrieve the fish and you everybody gets their scorecard. So you go to the angler beside you. They have to measure it and document it. And then that's your card on the record. And they all chatter goes up and down the beach as to who has what and how many more that we need to catch to catch up. And
yeah. And each fish that you catch, I presume, is graded a different way, or do you get more points for something bigger or smaller or rare or what?
Some fish there is, and then there's some rules regarding to certain fish. So like a dogfish, the first one is measured, and then after that, there are just so many points for them. But then let's say the small fish like whiting or coley or flatfish, they're measured, and it's according to how big the fish is, as to like that's how you accumulate your points.
Liz, I presume you're sitting there and you see Alison, I don't know, 20 yards or 50 yards down the way, and then she's raking in all the fish, and you're sitting there wondering what's happened. Is there a lot of mind games goes on? Or?
Oh yeah, of course there is. I might swing down and say, Alison, I forgot my tea bags, and
spy on you.
And she's getting me the tea bags, I'll see what she's got on.
And back up there and say, my God, I'm so far behind.
No, usually you go down and just for the chat anyway, because it's 4 hours, it's a long time, you know, and it could be wind, rain, the weather isn't great here, you know, but you go down and have the chat, and Alison might say, you know, they're taking them all worms or lugworms or, you know, chance it. You know, we do help each other. It's not, you know, it's not as if I'm going to hide all my stuff, you know, it's, we are a team, like, especially with the ladies, because, you know, we're one of the clubs in Ireland, I think, with the most ladies anyway.
It's amazing. Yeah,
so we have to help each other out.
Yeah. Fiona, let's talk about the club. You're all here tonight decked out like football players with your own needles. Literally a PSC Angling Club. You're well decked out and all that. Talk to me about getting involved in the club. What's the club like? The amount of members and all that kind of stuff, maybe.
The club is great. It's one of the biggest in the country.
Where's it based for? Are you based out of a particular village? Is it Finnet or is it just Tralee Bay? Or where's headquarters? Or have you any headquarters?
Don't really have a headquarters. I suppose if we were to meet anywhere, Finnet would be the main kind of place.
It's the unofficial headquarters.
Unofficial headquarters. Good stuff. Yeah.
All right. So when we get to the unofficial headquarters, the club itself, I presume there's fishermen, fisherwomen, is there kids? Is it kind of more sociable, or is it all competitive?
It's both, really. It's kind of club where you can fish socially if you want and not participate in the competitions, or, well, I suppose the competitive side of it, you know. There's a lot of anglers that come every now and then just to fish socially and meet up with people.
We have a lot of juniors, like we
there
have.
Are, yeah.
Really loads of kids that are fishing. And
now when you say juniors, now what age is a junior? Is a junior kind of teenagers or even smaller again?
Smaller, so under 18.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
Like I have a 7-year-old, she loves fishing. We're always on the pier, she loves fishing.
Do you share your secrets with her?
Yeah.
Of course I do.
It's amazing, actually, because I suppose a lot of people listen to Terrace Talk every week, and everybody talks, it's all the GA world and the whole lot, and the odd time we talk about soccer and the hurling and the camogie and the whole lot. It's a sport that doesn't come up a lot, obviously, and I suppose when it hit me through the Facebook and the whole lot, I think it's a story that needs to be told, because not everybody's the best basketballer, not everybody's going to be the best footballer, but I presume it's fairly level opening pitch here for a child to start angling.
Yeah.
We're always looking for members, always. And they're always welcome.
Yeah, I suppose kid-wise, it's like they can fish on their own. You know, if they struggle to be part of a team, like they don't have to go to that part where they're part of a team. They can do it on their own. And I find, especially for myself, my own young fella has ADHD. So being part of a team sometimes is hard. And then he wouldn't be elite enough for the GAA of Kerry, but like he holds a world championship medal in fishing.
Oh.
You know, something that he wouldn't achieve in another sport.
Mm-hmm.
Or it, possibly might. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely, yeah. Possibly might. But it's amazing to think that, you know, we're in Kerry, we're surrounded by rivers and coastlines and beaches and the whole lot, and we're probably not really kind of letting people know that this is a great sporting event that you can travel the world in as well, and you can be competitive, and you have your secrets, and you can bring that tradition with you all the way through. And I suppose you learn on the hoof. Clodagh, what's it like to be a Cork woman in the Kerry team?
Rosalind.
I forgot about Rosalind. Are you still there, Rosalind? Hopefully.
Yes.
God, it's going to be like a 4-hour competition for you before time we get around with the next cast. Cork person in the Kerry team?
Well, sure, look, I mean,
they're all right, aren't they?
She's lost the Cork accents already.
I have. I've lost out nearly all my Cork credentials now. My own family don't even understand me half the time.
Jesus. But,
it's not like the GAA. It's not as...
Rosalind, you found Tralee Bay as a home for yourself, the club itself anyway. What was it like joining the club?
No, it was lovely. Very, very welcome. I knew a couple of people from going up and down from Dublin anyway to Kerry, so I would have got to know Chris on that. So once I joined the club, yeah, I felt very, very welcome. Actually got a compliment, was told it was no longer a blow-in.
Right,
down there that often.
They gave you a proper passport.
They did, yeah, the Kerry passport, yeah.
You can fish anywhere you
very
want.
Very welcoming.
Come here, when you go back up to Dublin, do you talk to your friends about this amazing feat that you have yourself? I mean, I presume you do a small bit of fishing up there as well, do you?
I do. I fish in Dublin, yeah. I do a lot of fishing out of Howth and out of, I would do Portmarnock, Malahide, Sutton, so that would be roughly my area. And I've learned and made friends with lots of people that angle and fish in Dublin as well, so we have a very, very good friend from Holt, and he would have taught us a huge amount over the years of fishing, because my kids would have been taught like 7, 8, 9 going out to Holt, you know, and trying to teach them how to fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
The young kids, you know, all the lines getting caught, lines getting tangled, fighting over who owns what fish and what have you. But yeah, a lot of people in Dublin would know who I am and where I fish, yeah. But I do fish from Munster because I spend so much time in Kerry.
Absolutely.
It was the one option that I had and went for, and really, really enjoyed. And as I said, I was very, very welcome.
Yeah,
and that was a huge achievement.
Yeah, and it's a lovely part of the world there, North County Dublin. That's where you are. Hoth, of course, beyond Aither and Sutton and down the road from Portmarnock Beach and all that. It's fabulous. Do you find a difference now fishing East Coast to West Coast?
I certainly would, yes. East Coast, where I fish, like Malahide, all that, there's different species there. You know, we would fish for the smoothhound. We wouldn't get the smoothhounds on the West Coast. So when I'm over on the West Coast, there's different variety of fish as well. There's similar fish around as well, and again, depending on the time of year. But the fish on the West Coast is a bigger abundance of fish. But then they have a bigger coastal area as well than what we have, you know, along where I would fish. Kerry is vast, absolutely vast. You know, beautiful, beautiful area.
Fair pleasure, Rosalind. Rosalind, we're going to let you go anyway because I'd say the old telephone bill will catch us faster than the fish, I'd say, in a second. But listen, thanks very much for joining us, and the very best of luck to you in the home nation. An adopted dub, always welcome in Kerry, which is fantastic. Come here, before we let you go, are you excited to be going to Wales?
I am. I really am. Yeah, with COVID and that, some of the travel was stopped, you know, so it's great to get back into the travel, meet up with the girls that we would have met over there before, you know, so absolutely living for it, yeah.
And of course, you fishing on the East Coast probably have a couple of extra secrets that you can share over in Wales as well, maybe.
Oh, I will. Yeah, we have our secrets too.
Good stuff. Well, it seems to be a very secretive sport, actually. Sounds like cards. Well, listen, we'll take another break and we'll be back after this, and we will talk all things about Wales and the championships and who we're going to, I suppose, competing against and all that kind of stuff, and have you maybe a bit of experience on it before. We'll take after break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Talking all things Tralee Bay Sea Angling Club, who have 5 representatives heading off to the 2023 Ladies Home Nations Championships, and of course that's on in Wales. It's not that far away, Fiona, is it?
No.
Well, not the journey, but the time. I mean, it's catching up on us. You're going in July.
We are. We have a lot of preparation to do now. It's only a few months away, I suppose.
And how would you prep for that now, Liz? Is it more competitions and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's all competitions, practice. Then we get our bit of information as to where we're going to be fishing, what type of fish we're looking at, and then we really need to get down to the nitty-gritty of that then.
So when you find out that it's in this place in Wales, you will research what fish is caught there, and you'll probably have to maybe adjust the bait or adjust what it is to catch those.
Whatever fish it is, we might get that same fish here, so we'll just have to go to that place here and we'll just have to try.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to catch a South Kerry version of a Welsh fish. Kind of. Come here to me, Alison. I presume heading to Wales, it's not that they're going to be a luxury bus meeting you and driving you all the way across and the whole lot. I presume you probably have to pay a small bit yourselves to get there, or what's the story in that?
Yeah, there is a little bit of funding there, and there's a bit of funding from Women in Sport, but most of it is self-funded. Our federation, through competitions and the money that's gone into that, like, there would be a bit of money there, but the cost of it is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, between the accommodation, getting the ferry over, getting the equipment over, like, Wales isn't bad and going over to the home nations isn't bad, but when you go into the World Championship then, like, they've often drove across the continent with equipment because it was cheaper than flying it over. So there's a lot of fundraising done and a lot of, like, trying to make money within a small pool of people, because you've got the women, the men, you've got the under 16s and the under 21s all travelling, and they're all trying to get their little bit of funding as well.
Mm-hmm. When you say a lot of money, are we talking thousands and thousands?
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands?
World Championships, yeah.
Wow.
You could be gone for 2 weeks. The Home Nations is about a week for 2 days of a fishing competition.
And that's travelling, accommodation, food, all the stuff that goes with it, all the gear that you need to top up and the whole lot.
Then you got to make your traces, you got to have the right rods, the right reels. When it's at a Home Nations, the bait is supplied, but it's not supplied for free. There's a fee that each country has to pay.
Okay. I presume you possibly fishing for sponsorship or maybe somebody to help you along the way, or
if anybody wants to give us a few bob, it's very welcome.
Yeah. And of course, like, we have a huge, I suppose, social tradition of fishing in this county. I mean, there's people all over West Kerry and South Kerry and the whole lot that, okay, you're the Tralee club, but I mean, you're a Kerry club really, aren't you? Apart from the Cork one, obviously. You have a whole county to get sponsorship in. You'll be all right. Don't worry, they look after you up there in Inishcare, I'd say. But the truth is, I mean, people sitting at home there this evening, I mean, if it was a case, I presume you have a couple of fundraisers coming up or something like that, maybe?
Yeah,
do. We've received a small bit of funding. We kind of have things in the pipeline, you know, fundraising events that we're going to try and get through now.
But we don't want you going over like Cool Runnings from Jamaica or something, the worst prepared Irish fishing ladies team ever to come out of Kerry. You'll have to go over a little bit better than that, I'd imagine.
We will.
We want to win, you know. We're going to win. This is what we're going for.
Talk to us about the event itself. We've gone through the structure and the thing. How does the team dynamic work then? Is it that you almost score well, or one of you scores well, or how does that work?
It's a team event, so we might be in the same zones, we might be in different zones. You kind of have to win your zone, and it all adds up to points then.
Okay. Claude, are you very competitive?
I would be. All of it's been kind of sporty, but...
Would you come back from your zone now and look at the score and say, Alison, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think it'd be the other way around somehow.
That's a lie now. She's just won the Master Angler, Lady Master Angler, so she's the champion of us all in Ireland at the minute.
So she's
now
our captain.
She's our captain, yeah.
For the World Championships.
There you go. You're the Star Wars woman,
she's
are you?
A bit modest.
She's very modest. Come here, there seems to be a great dynamic with you as well. I mean, we'll say the fishing and the competitive side, but I presume socially you'd all kind of get on fairly well as well and enjoy and it's great to go and it's a great event that way. Fiona?
We do. We keep in contact with each other, you know, outside of fishing even, and, you know, socially it's great. It brings us all together.
Have you got your own fishing WhatsApp group?
We have about three of them.
And if you want to find Fiona, she'll be on the pier.
Yeah, she lives on the pier too.
You never leave it.
I do. Yeah, I'm always out. If a week goes by and I haven't been out fishing, there's something wrong.
She's sick.
Oh my God.
Something wrong.
Oh, what's out? I suppose as well. It's funny that you mentioned that. I suppose we talk about physical sports and the whole lot. I presume even for kind of mental health and the whole lot, it's great to be out in the open. And you know, like you said, you don't have to be catching anything. You're out there for 4 hours or longer, and sometimes maybe with family or smaller family or grandparents or whatever. Even from that perspective, it's a sport that people should look at.
It is. I mean, it's great for the head. Do you know, I suppose you just go out there. You can go out for an hour. You can go out for 3 hours. You can go out for the whole day. You know, you meet up with other people that had the same notion to just go out for a day or two, have a chit chat with them. You don't have to. You know, it's great peace.
Mm. What's the best bit, Liz, away from the competitive side?
About fishing?
About the fishing.
The friends you make. And even like Fiona, if you're just on the pier on your own, as I've been once or twice myself, people come up, they chat to you, they'll ask you questions, say if you're catching mackerel, they're like, can I have one? And you're only delighted to give to them, you know.
Right, okay. Do you give the best one away, or do you just give the first one you catch away?
Well, no, if I need it for bait, I'll be like, I'm sorry.
Right, okay.
I must say though, when we do catch fish, we do, if we weren't using it, it has to go back, you know. I mean, we have to conserve.
And that's very important too, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A very important aspect. It's not that you go fishing, catch 10 mackerel and bring them all home.
No, even in the competition, if you catch a fish, we have to have a bucket ready, and he goes in there and waits for the steward to come and weigh him, and then, or measure him, and then he has to go back.
Mm-hmm. He kind of goes into a kind of an artificial jail for a while in a net, and he's thrown back. Alison, final minute, what are the hopes? What are our hopes over in Wales?
So the hope is gold.
Right, okay. Start there anyway, yeah.
Hope is gold. We're going to aim high. And I suppose to make a good account of ourselves is the next thing then.
How about the Master Fisher? Have you got a good team?
Absolutely. No, we're gel really well together, all five of us, you know, and I think that's half the battle, is a great vibe. You know, we're all there to help each other. We all go out training together as well and practicing, and I think.
And seeing that she's not on the line anymore, how about her dub?
Oh, sure. She'll be down again come March. She'll be out with us in the weekends when the weather gets better.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, I really enjoyed tonight's, I suppose, the back end of the show. I mean, I suppose I contacted Chris first. We were giving him his kickbox, you see. And he sent me to the sister, and the sister sent me to Fiona. At one stage, we'd never get you in. It was like trying to catch a big fish, actually. But we caught all the fish anyway, and we got Rosalind as well on the line. And listen, I want to wish you the very best of luck. I think what you're doing is fantastic. It's an amazing story, and I think it's a story that needs to be told. And even from the competitive side, it's great, but there's so many other aspects to the story as well, from the kids to mental health, a whole lot. I mean, it's a great thing. It's something that we don't look into a lot. And of course, we have Alison, and she wants to win gold. So if you don't bring back gold, she'll be here on her own without you, I'd imagine. She'll be getting for a new team. But we do wish you the best luck. And if there is somebody out there this evening that says, God, I love fishing back in the day, and I have a few bob in the credit union or whatever, or I might own a big factory or something, there's a few bob coming this way, because it's a fantastic outfit, a great team. And like I said, you can't be going like Cool Runnings over, you know, the worst. It'd be awful. Do you like Irish music?
Of course we do.
Fair play to you. Up next, Talk Sus. Donal Barry was tonight on Terrace Talk. Ivan helped produce. Keane, that's Keane over there. He was doing all the sound works and the whole lot. And we'll do it all again next week, and we'll talk to you then.